What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, March 12th. The feel of college basketball is here. We're just a few days away from Selection Sunday. And tomorrow, this show gets bumped for FAU hoops. The FAU men's basketball team playing right at this time tomorrow in their conference tournament. Let's go, Owls. If the Owls win tomorrow, which they should, then they will play Friday at 3 p.m. And because Fox Sports 640 South Florida is your home for FAU athletics, that means you will hear the basketball game tomorrow and probably Friday, and not my voice. So this could be the last day of the week until next week you get to hear me. You can always see what I have to write. That's my Twitter feed, my Instagram. You could check out social media on those too. And if I have a
Slater scoop,
I will definitely bring it to you there. But I hope FAU makes one heck of a run. Not just because I want another day off. Trust me, I get plenty of days off. I'm not complaining whatsoever. I won't know, though, if I have a show on Friday until late tomorrow afternoon when the FAU game is over with. Maybe I'll know by halftime because FAU should win that game tomorrow, playing the bottom of the barrel of the conference. Maybe FAU makes a nice little run. I know the University of Miami ain't going to do it. They're not going to be in there. So it's all on FAU. They win tomorrow. They play again Friday. And I think it would be really cool if they made a run at the championship. Why not? We need some positive around here. Even the Panthers lost last night. They're like our only positive going on. And even with them, not only did they lose last night, they blew it. Kind of like looking at the Miami Heat too much, you know, watching them and, oh, yeah, we could do that too. No, you don't want any part of that. It was one game. It's against a rival in Boston. Whatever. Let the Bruins have their fun for one night. They and their fans can enjoy that while the Panthers enjoy the hockey playoffs very soon. But Tkachuk, he's out for a long time. He may not even be back come playoff time. Ekblad got suspended 20 games. He served one last night, 19 more to go. He will miss the first two playoff games. So even though we have positive overall with the Panthers, there's things within the organization that were definitely negatives, and they need to overcome that. You got to overcome adversity. FAU, they've had some adversity going to the Final Four, and now the 5 seed in the conference tournament. So overcome that, make a run, get into the big dance. I don't think their games will all tip off at 3 p.m., but next week, just so you know, because we got so many things going on right now in the month of March, it's not just college basketball, but next week begins the Miami Open, the tennis tournament. I have been smoking Hard Rock Bet in tennis, like smoking them. And my close friends on Instagram, they've gotten into this. If you want to become a close friend, I get DMs all the time when I say this, which is cool. Some of you sign up. Some of you are like, nah, but okay, it's all good. Only sign up if you can, and it's easy and you're comfortable. But if you send me a DM on Instagram, I'll send you the details. But I will be next week. I will be at the Miami Open, I believe, every single day. Tuesday, I will be doing my show. I have my poker tournament next Tuesday night at the Hard Rock. That's a week from yesterday. So I'll be there. I'll do the show Tuesday from the Hard Rock Hotel. And the rest of the time, aside from the tournament, I will be at the other tournament, the one at Hard Rock Stadium. That's the Miami Open. Think about how much we've got happening. That's why I love March. I love October, but I love March. The best 2 months of the sports calendar. And heck, we haven't even got to the best stuff of the month yet. It's on the way. The conference tournaments, they've already been going on, but now much heavier. Selection Sunday is this Sunday. And then next week, Thursday and Friday, when you talk about action all day long, next Thursday and Friday, two of the best days in sports. I cannot wait to take in all the action. I'll be watching some of that, wagering on it. I'll be at the tennis tournament. I'll be watching those matches live. There's so much going on. I'm like, I can't even do a show because I got too much going on sports-wise. You know what? I've been doing this 17 years now. Next month will be 17 years. I have no plans to retire. But I want to enjoy sports. I enjoy talking to all of you. The majority of you enjoy talking to me. This isn't my second or fifth or ninth year doing this, or even 12th or 13th. 17 years. And I come on here all the time, and I tell all of you to take all of it in. Enjoy all of these moments. And that's what I want to do too. So when I've got the big tennis tournament going on in Miami Gardens at Hard Rock Stadium, and I got all these basketball games going on during the afternoon, could I come on here next Thursday and Friday and just talk while all these games are going on? Sure, but you know what? I want to enjoy it. So I share my apology in advance, and hopefully you will accept it, that next week, and I put this in way in advance, next week I will only be with you on Tuesday. That's the day I'm doing the show from the Hard Rock, and I've got my poker tournament, because I want to enjoy all of this that's going on around me, just like I want all of you to enjoy it. Plus, next Thursday and Friday, I mean, why would you want to hear me anyway? You're going to be watching these games. If I were you, I'd be watching the games. What, are you going to turn the game off? Oh, I got to listen to Slater. I'm going to turn the game off. No. I mean, come on. You know, on this show, we're always all about honesty. Nobody is getting any work done if you're into college basketball or wagering next Thursday and Friday. It's just not happening. So why fake something? Just enjoy it. Don't hide your computer or a television at your job. Just take the day off. Enjoy this. Enjoy March Madness. Enjoy the tennis tournament if you're into it, or if you're into wagering. Just enjoy all of it, because it's March, it's about the madness, and it's about enjoyment. Some of you take the day off and you go out to a spring training game in Florida. People come to Florida to go to spring training games because they get a little cool vacation and you get to watch your team play, and it's so expensive back, let's say, in Boston to go to a game. So people go to Fort Myers, whatever it may be. People are enjoying games here in the month of March. So we got spring training in Florida. We got the tennis tournament starting up on Sunday. The Panthers, they're making their playoff push, with the exception of last night. The Miami Heat, they're in action. They used to be fun to watch. Used to, yes, I did say that, because they're not fun anymore. How can you have fun watching the Miami Heat right now? Watch them build a big lead. That's the only thing you could do, is you watch them build that big lead and then you turn the TV off and you go to bed. Hey, that was fun. Don't wake up in the middle of the night and look at your phone and look at the result. Just forget about it. Watch the Heat take a double-digit lead, turn your television off, and do something else. Then you'll see enjoyable basketball. Beyond that, forget it. Okay, I got many things to get to, and Normally I'll talk for 15 or 16 or 17 minutes and I don't even get to what I've got written down and everything in front of me. But when I was prepping for the show last night and this morning while having my coffee and then into early this afternoon, I said there's something that I really need to bring up yet again because I feel it's very important. I know there's free agency going on in the National Football League. The Miami Dolphins are making moves. People are wondering what's going on with Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel showing up to some workouts in a backpack and looking like he's a high school student. What's going to be up with this Dolphins team? I want to discuss that and something to me that I think is very important. But I can't. Until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
When it comes to the Miami Dolphins, if you're talking about anything other than results, Stephen Ross is the man. But don't count results, not for the Miami Dolphins, because then he's not the man. Why do I say Stephen Ross is the man? I talked a little bit about this like 2 weeks ago, but I say that because I am getting ready to spend about two full weeks engulfed at Hard Rock Stadium. I'm going to be going day after day to the tennis tournament. I'm going to be wagering on the matches. I'm going to be eating great food. I'm going to be checking out all the views. Girls. I'm going to be entrenched in everything there. And the reality is, Stephen Ross absolutely transformed Hard Rock Stadium from a place that was boring and hot and lame. You would walk in there and think, my gosh, I miss the Orange Bowl. He transformed it from that to how it is today, where Hard Rock Stadium is one of the best sports venues in the world. Think about all of the things that happened there. The tennis tournament, and that's kind of like a grand slam. It's the fifth or sixth major. All the big names are coming to Miami. And then in May, it's an F1 track. And that brings fans from all around the world. It brings money from all around the world. Great event, except for some people that live around the stadium. Then you got the World Cup coming. We've already had Super Bowls. Taylor Swift was there for, what, three nights just last year? The Canes play there. The Dolphins play there. That's like the last thing I mentioned. Did you notice that? Oh, yeah, and the Dolphins play there too. Any big event that is out there, it comes to our town. And it's thanks in large part to Stephen Ross. He has absolutely changed that facility. He has marketed the heck out of it. People from around the world want to bring their events to Miami Gardens. If you run a big event, you want to be in Miami Gardens. Now, Stephen Ross, to Dolphins fans, you're like, hey, I just want my football team to win. They haven't won a playoff game. Stephen Ross is north of 80. His legacy for rookies will be, well, the Miami Dolphins, they didn't win anything under his watch. And that's true. But veterans will understand what South Florida was before Stephen Ross took over and what it is now. And the reason this is on my mind, it's because I'm going to be spending so much time there. I'm going to watch some of the best tennis in the world. Such a fun event. Such a great gambling event. And this is all because of Stephen Ross. If it wasn't for Stephen Ross, you'd have to sit in traffic waiting to get to Key Biscayne Park, take a bus. Now, the football side, that's a problem. They haven't won anything. Stephen Ross is probably way too loyal to Chris Greer. Extremely loyal. there haven't been good results. Dolphins fans, you want good results. You just want to win a playoff game. You want to feel like your team's got a fighting chance. And they gave Tua all this money, and they signed Zach Wilson to be their backup quarterback. You probably feel Tua is going to be out for some time every single season. Now they're going to go to Zach Wilson. You don't want Tua to be out, but if you're a Dolphins fan, you probably feel he will be. The only thing with Ross and the Dolphins is you can't say that he doesn't try. You can't say he's cheap. You can't say, well, this team hasn't won because they weren't willing to go all in. You can't say that because they have been willing to do that. Chris Greer buys the groceries, and the groceries he's buying, they're not always good. But Stephen Ross has given him a lot of money to go shop, whatever he needs, whatever they could fit in. Okay, go do whatever you need to do. But Chris Greer is going to the wrong supermarket. It's like he's going to Pantry Pride or something. He ain't going to Publix. And you New Yorkers, I know you could probably name like two or three other supermarkets that are five times the price. I've been to New York many times. Only for about 24 hours a shot. And I know some of those supermarkets where you buy groceries, they're very expensive. Oh, because this is organic and this is the best because this is New York. Well, Stephen Ross spends a lot of time in New York too. So I'm sure he's got people shopping for him at those very expensive places. Hopefully, though, for Stephen Ross in New York, he's got the correct people buying the groceries. But that dude is willing to do anything to win. They just haven't done it. Plus, he's not the one blocking and tackling, throwing the football, catching the football. We're at a time right now where owners are spending money in free agency. You're seeing all these contracts go around. And at the same time, we've got incredible global events that continue to come to South Florida. And Stephen Ross deserves credit for that. I'm glad we have Hard Rock Stadium the way it is right now. I'm also glad that we have Hard Rock Bet and the Hard Rock Hotel and the Hard Rock Poker Room. It just makes this time of the year glorious. I don't think Stephen Ross has anything to do with the app, but he definitely has a lot to do with what's happening at the stadium. Now, I can tell you what's going to happen at the Hard Rock Poker Room a week from now, actually a week from yesterday. The Slater Scoops Poker Tournament. Yes, that's mine. Tuesday night, March 18th. $250 buys you into the tournament. There will be a minimum of $20,000 up for grabs. We've had so much more than $20,000 in the prize pool. It's like I tell you $20,000, but we've had $30,000, $40,000. We had $65,000 in there. Next month, from what I understand, I overheard a conversation. I think next month's going to be the biggest one we've ever had. But we don't need to wait for next month, because we got a tournament coming up on Tuesday night. You can come hang out with me. I mean, that alone should bring you on out, right? We hang out, we play cards, and as an added bonus, if you are the first one to knock me out of the tournament, if I do get knocked out, not only will you get all of my chips, but I'm going to give you two seats on the glass to go see the Florida Panthers in action. That game will be coming up very soon. You'll have first row seats on the glass with food and drink included, plus premium parking. That's courtesy of the Workers' Comp Legal Center at 1-800-ALL-COMP. Don't miss it. Tuesday night, March 18th, just 6 days away. The tournament begins at 6 p.m. You got until 9:30 p.m. to get there. It's the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament, Tuesday night, March 18th, in the Poker Room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. It's March Madness time, and I don't get to talk a lot of college basketball. We did a couple years ago. I know FAU is going to be on the airwaves tomorrow instead of me, and probably Friday too, they've got somewhat of a shot. The University of Miami, they got no chance. But right now, the focus for the University of Miami, it's Jay Lucas. I know it's hard to see what he's doing because it's recruiting, but Jay Lucas decided to leave Duke. He left March Madness. Duke is a team that is favored to win the national championship. Jay Lucas could have easily stayed on and have been part of that. But instead, he wanted to start building the Hurricanes team for next season. So what am I looking for here? I'm looking to see if the relationships that Jay Lucas has built over the course of his career, if they translate to Miami. How can I tell? What I'm going to monitor is if the Hurricanes are getting kids from the transfer portal. I want to see if Miami's getting kids who committed to one place and now they're going to come to Coral Gables. I think Jay Lucas is going to be really good. And that's why I'm curious to see how this is all going to transform. Jay Lucas has not been a head coach before, but I think in 2025, it's never mattered less. It's never been less important to have head coaching experience than right now. I say that because of team building, player acquisition. Right now, that is the name of the game. When you get to the big dance and you get to the Sweet 16 and it's a close game, okay, then X's and O's, they matter. But you're not getting there. You're not even getting close to there if you're not acquiring great players. Lucas was able to do it when he had a name brand behind him in Duke. Hey, you want to come play for Duke? But what about when it's Miami? Will he be able to do that? Miami, as we know, is not a powerhouse basketball school. They were looking like it for a little bit. I mean, still nothing like Duke or UNC or Kansas or Kentucky. But you go to the Elite Eight, and then the following year you go to the Final Four. But then basketball and all college sports started changing. Regardless, I think this is a very smart hire. I compare the retirement news conference of Jim Larrañaga to the first conference that Jay Lucas had for the media. And essentially all of the things that Coach L said, like, I don't understand, this isn't what I do, the game's passed me by, I'm not used to this. All of those things that annoyed Coach L, they excite Jay Lucas. Coach L had the self-awareness, though, to realize this is a whole new ball game. And the University of Miami had the wisdom to say, you know what? Coach L's right. It's a younger man's game now. It's about player acquisition. It's about that portal. It's about NIL. Let's go out and let's get the best young man that there is for this job. And they did. So I think Jay Lucas is going to be great. My concern is that he's going to be so good, he'll do so well, that Miami's toughest job is going to be keeping him. Seriously, what if after a couple of years, other schools see the types of players he can bring in? Who knows? Texas could come calling to him. It'll be up to Miami to defend their turf. I guess that would be a great position to be in. I just believe Jay Lucas is a rising stock, and you don't get guys like this once they take off. The only way to get this talent is when they're still on the ground floor. You might be thinking, why am I even bringing this up right now? Second segment of the hour? Look, it's college hoops. I'd rather be talking about the Canes playing and FAU playing. At least FAU, they're probably going to win tomorrow and then hopefully Friday, and they'll have a shot in their conference tournament to get to the big dance. But all of you, after Sunday, you're going to be in your office Monday. You're going to be filling out a bracket. You're going to pretend to like the sport, even if you don't. Everyone in your office is probably going to be filling out a bracket. They're not all using the wagering app. But aside from that, the future for Miami Hurricanes basketball and what they just had a couple of years ago, compared to what they can continue to have with taking those two seasons in between and just throwing them away, that's got me a bit fired up. That's got me way more fired up what could happen there than what's going on with Miami's other basketball team, and that would be the Miami Heat, because that is depressing. What's not depressing, it's really exciting, the racing at Gulfstream Park. Right now, the championship meet is going on, and that means the best of the best is in town in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. The best horses, the best jockeys, the best trainers, the best of everything. And they're live racing right now, literally right now on a Wednesday. 5 days a week, live racing is going on at Gulfstream Park, Wednesday through Sunday until the end of the month. The Florida Derby, that is coming up at the end of the month as well. Visit GulfstreamPark.com to make a table reservation if you want to get in 10 Palms, their trackside restaurant. The weekend, they got the buffet going on. You could order off of the menu during the week as well. The food is fantastic, and the atmosphere for the racing, it is amazing. It is the championship meet, live racing, 5 days a week, Wednesday through Sunday in Hollandale Beach, right now at Gulfstream Park. The future of Canes basketball, that gets me more excited than talking about the Miami Heat right now, but I'm going to do it anyway. When you blow a 17-point lead to the Charlotte Hornets, who had not won a single game in the division all season, and you're at home, and it's your fourth straight loss, and both of your best players get good looks at a potential tying basket in the final minute, and both miss, and Bam had an air ball, how do you get fired up for that? The Clippers are in town tonight. Maybe it'll fire you up that it's the second night of a back-to-back for them. They come in with maybe not a lot of energy. Maybe they'll run out of gas in the second half. But the Miami Heat, they got a four-game losing streak. They're well under 500. They're not in the top six of the Eastern Conference. What is there to get excited about? The big picture? Look, the big picture of this season is Jimmy became toxic, and that blew up the Heat's year. He had to go, and they got rid of him. What they got back, that's just who they are now. They're not good enough. They're leap years behind Boston, Cleveland, the Knicks. I mean, the Heat aren't even close. The franchise measures its success, according to Pat Riley, based on parades down Biscayne Boulevard. If that's what the team uses to measure success, then I would say wholesale changes need to be made this offseason. You want to give Eric Spoelstra a mulligan? He's had a very bad year. Okay. If he was someone who was coaching his second year in the league and had no rings and no resume, I'd say the dude's got to go, just based on his performance this season. But Spo's built up a lot of goodwill. He does have titles. He's very well respected, not only in the NBA, but the world. And even though he's been bad and his rotations have been bad, decisions, adjustments, everything's been bad, his roster's been bad. And having a bad roster is on Pat Riley and the front office. Bam and Tyler have been good players. They're all stars. But if Bam and Tyler are your best players, your team is not good enough to legitimately compete. Not saying they're not good. They are good. They're all stars. But they cannot be your best players if you really want to compete. And we've seen that. I mean, Jimmy wasn't playing. We see how they are now. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. Another fact is Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol, he's going to join me next. Here on this Wednesday, Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol with us on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, are you a lieutenant or are you an immigration officer? What are you now?
You know, as far as the immigration topic goes, Andy, I know that the governor recently signed an executive order, just kind of echoing what the president is doing with the immigration stuff and kind of prioritizing those things. And I think at the state level, as far as the highway patrols involved, our involvement will just be kind of supportive for the federal level and what they're currently doing. Maybe we can supplement with their staffing and just kind of help in any way we can. But as we all know, it is kind of a priority. And of course, the state level government is going to kind of do anything they can to assist our partners at the federal level.
Lieutenant, I remember when the Florida Highway Patrol troopers just pulled people over, gave them speeding tickets, stopped people for DUI. Seems like you guys do almost everything now. I mean, spring break is happening in South Florida. You guys are all over that. I don't know if you can count it, but how many duties like do you guys actually have?
Yeah, and you know something? You're absolutely right, Andy. We've assisted with the border crisis in Texas, with some of the immigration landings that we've seen in Monroe County in the Florida Keys area. Like you mentioned, the statewide spring break. Things to mitigate some of the chaos we've seen historically, right, in South Florida, or even maybe in like other hot spots, maybe like Daytona Beach or things like that. And that's just under our new director and our new colonel. That's what they kind of they see us as a state police and as an additional resource for all of our local partners, besides doing what we do, right? The traffic related stuff, right? Like you said, the DUIs, stopping people for driving recklessly or, you know, things like that. He likes to see us. His vision is putting us as a potential resource in any kind of capacity for our local and federal partners. So I think that's what you're seeing, and I think it's honestly it's great. It exposes the Highway Patrol for very positive things, and it shows that our partners can always count on us for whatever kind of public safety missions are in place.
You know, I hear less and less people. Actually, I don't hear it because it's less and less people. We always used to hear, Lieutenant, oh, a speed trap here. Like, I don't see that as much anymore. Is that because you guys are doing so many other things, or there's just different ways to, I guess, pull people over and not necessarily have speed traps? Or maybe I'm wrong and they still are out there.
No, I think our guys are still certainly out there proactively doing speed stuff, whether it's measuring with a I think you might see they may call it a speed trap when they see maybe a trooper with like a laser gun. It's called the laser for measuring speed, or if they just see a trooper car, they might say it's a speed trap. But I think our troopers are always kind of doing speed, whether it's just driving by, they can get your speed with their it's called a pace clock, just by traveling the same speed as you. But without a doubt, our guys are still out there proactive, and I think especially now during the spring break time, they're going to be focusing on obviously impaired drivers. They're going to be really deterring any kind of criminal behavior coming into these beach destinations, right, during spring break. And that's just proactively patrolling out there. But I think essentially during this time, it's impaired driving, reckless driving, and just any just really with these checkpoints we're going to be staffing, just deterring that criminal element in any way we can, for sure.
Lieutenant, I know you mentioned laser, not to be confused with taser. I mean, you guys are out there with a laser. You also have radar. You said the pace clock. I recall many, many years ago, I don't know if this is true or not, somebody told me that at least some officers or maybe troopers, you get visually certified, so you could actually just tell with your eyes how fast somebody's going. Is that true?
No. Well, no, it's not true. Not just that, but that's part of it when you do. So there's three ways that there's actually four ways that we determine if somebody's, speeding, right? We have the laser, which is you kind of has like a cross bow, and you point it at a vehicle and it tells you that vehicle's speed instantly and the distance, how far away that vehicle is from you. Now for the radar, it's kind of like this Doppler tone pitch that goes out and essentially bounces off of vehicles that are traveling, right? But when you have vehicles that are traveling in a pack, you have to first visually identify the vehicle that you suspect is traveling in excess of speed within that pack, and then you confirm that speed with your radar. So you have to do a visual estimate, and then you confirm that with your radar. Yeah. So it's and then we have aircraft for we have with clocks, and then we do our pace clocking, which is with our speedometers.
So it's like that movie with the tone you're talking about for the radar, where you could be like fast asleep 2 a.m. and zoom, like all of a sudden you just hear a noise.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly exactly how it is. The faster the vehicle's traveling, the higher of the pitch of that tone is going to be. Obviously, the slower the lower tone it is. But yes, just like that. Yes.
You should pull people over for slow tones in the left lane, Lieutenant. You know, if you don't hear something with a very high pitch, that means pull them over. Hey, what happened a little while ago? I mean, we're all about current events. I believe it was on the turnpike, one or two box trucks. Mm-hmm. Did anything fall out of them? What went on?
Yeah, this was actually on the turnpike, right by the Hard Rock Stadium, right around that exit there. There was a box truck that was disabled, blocking that right lane on the southbound side. And another box truck that was oncoming just, you know, wasn't able to stop or wasn't able to, you know, avoid that box truck and, you know, ran right into it. The box truck that was stopped overturned. And then the other one that was oncoming was carrying furniture inside of it, which all, because of the crash, fell onto the roadway and just made a little bit of a mess out there. But so we had to get our risk crews to come out, you know, obviously very quickly and get that cleaned up to try to get that roadway open. And they did. So, yeah, it was kind of a busy morning. Yes.
I guess you had to bring your crews out. Other people couldn't just pick stuff up because furniture is a little difficult. Normally, Lieutenant, if it's money or beer or shoes – I mean, we've seen that. Then just everybody can help out, no?
Then we have the Good Samaritans come out all of a sudden, right?
When it comes to that kind of stuff, I know we've had these stories before. And I think, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, probably dating myself, but somebody had robbed a bank and they were on a motorcycle, I want to say. And then they just started throwing money. It might have been on I-75. I don't recall, but... When it comes to like picking something up off of the road, is it finders keepers?
No, not if it's like an active scene or if it's something like currency or if it's somebody's property, right? That has a certain value to it. No, I don't think it's finders keepers. If for example, this box truck that just, you know, all the furniture spilled onto the roadway, I don't think you can't just run over there and, you know, grab a couch and take off.
No, I mean, why? So what happens if you see somebody up the road with a couch on top of their car? You're going to stop them?
Yes, I'm going to stop them. Yes. That's somebody else's property that they took against them. Well, maybe not against their will, but not with, you know, and they weren't allowed to, that's for sure. Not consented.
Lieutenant, speaking about consent and against will and driving, I saw this story a couple days ago. An Uber driver allegedly had one of his passengers perform some sexual acts on him. You may have more information about this because that's all I pretty much know.
I do. This was actually a pretty wild case that I'm happy to say that our investigators made an arrest on immediately. So it was involving a female victim who ordered an Uber, and the driver of the Uber, you know, somehow got her to sit in the front seat of the car and started just inappropriately touching and grabbing the victim, forced her to perform oral sex on him, and then proceeded to just drop her off at the drop off location. So obviously, she was in fear, and she called right away once she got to her location. And our troopers showed up and were able to, use their resources and get that license plate cross reference and, you know, locate this individual within the hour. And he was in handcuffs within an hour. And just this kind of a sad, the allegations were made that she was under the influence, but our troopers clearly stated on the arrest affidavit that she had no signs of impairment. And this was all, you know, completely a one-sided, really terrible crime. So, but like I said, I'm really happy that our guys made an arrest on that because it was a pretty sensitive case.
You know, I just pulled that up. Maybe you can explain this a little more. I was reading that the Uber driver pulled over when this happened, mm-hmm. and then... After all of that, whatever went on in the car, then went on to, as you said, drop her off at her drop-off location. Mm-hmm. So how does that – I mean, again, I don't know what's true or not. They're all allegations. But how does that work with an investigation where if you're pulled over on the side of the road and you've got somebody doing something wrong, do you not get out at that point? You continue to stay in the car, or every situation's different? What do we say?
I mean, I don't want to speak on behalf of a victim that's right. that might find herself in the middle of a, you know, of a of these types of sexual crimes, but maybe, you know, running out in the middle of a highway wasn't, you know, what she immediately thought of. You know, I don't know, but it, that's a scary place to be. I've always said it. But who knows? Who knows what, you know, she was feeling? She might have felt that she, you know, getting out of the car wasn't an option at the time. I'm not really sure, but yeah, that's what I think some people would have done, right? Just kind of create that distance and run away from that person. But that wasn't what happened here, no.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, if it's you and you get to the scene afterwards and she or he says, look, we were pulled over on the side of the road, is that not one of the questions that you ask?
Of course, of course, of course. And it was, I'm sure the troopers determined that she was more than likely just kind of held against her will, mm-hmm. either by being overpowered or by being, you know, afraid of, you know, running out of a car at, on the side of the highway, you know, whatever the case might be. Those questions are certainly asked, of course. Yes.
Yeah, because I would think that's like the thing you think of first. It's like, you know, when somebody finds somebody dead, it's like, well, why didn't you call 911 first, right? Why did you call your friend first or a family member? Why didn't you call 911? So I guess those are common things you think of too, and then just ask the question during the investigation.
Sure. Just like sometimes when people see a police car, they just kind of start running, and the police car wasn't really even there for them. You know, they were like, you know, they'll start.
Do they do that?
Yeah, it's happened. Sure. You've kind of pulled into a gas station in your police car and somebody that might be, you know, I don't know, drinking a beer on the sidewalk, they'll just start running thinking that there was a service call that was put out for them and the cops are responding for them, when really the cop was probably just trying to grab a soda or something, you know. But it happens, you know. Why, and you say, yo, we always say, why'd you run? It's just kind of, you know, you don't know.
Funny you bring that up, Lieutenant, because I remember many, many years ago I was watching the news in Miami. And somebody was running from the cops, and they interviewed the guy's mother, and they asked, well, do you know why he was running? And she said, because the cops were chasing him.
Yeah, it's just a vicious cycle, huh?
That won't get you out of it? I mean, hey, why were you running? Why did you? Well, you were chasing me. That's why I was running.
That's pretty clever.
Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol, stay safe out there. I'm off next Wednesday, so we'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
All right, Andy. Good talking to you.
All right, take care. Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol. I'll never forget that. That was classic. I'm watching the news. Why was your son running from the police? Because they were chasing him. All right, you get FAU basketball tomorrow and probably Friday as well. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.